Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Happy Monday. It's the Fan Morning Show. Sports at 590 Fan, Justin and Ailish. Hope you guys had a stunning weekend. We're back for a jam-packed week. Canadian Open this week. We got NBA, NHL alternating. Got Jays at home against Houston Astros for four-game series. It's going to be a great start to June. Full week here.
It's going to be. Great weekend for the Toronto Blue Jays. Helping make it so that it could be a potential big week for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Hope so.
Seems like, you know, fully rebounded, rescued in a way. Week for the Toronto Blue Jays in New York.
It has to be real. We got to have some momentum build here at the Blue Jays. You got Mike Babcock back in the back in the NHL. Lots did happen this weekend.
It was a little fuzzy for me though.
Anything happened fun in your life?
I don't know. Did we talk about this on Friday?
No.
No, we didn't. I can't believe you just off the air. How did you resist the urge to talk about this?
Because it's your world and I can't put you on blast, Justin.
We kind of just did.
Well, you don't have to. You had a celebration.
Yeah, I mean, when you win a beer league title, you have to celebrate harder than you should. I think it's like connected to the rules. So we had a big blowout for the Swinging Ducks Men's League Championship
Friday
night.
Deservingly so.
At a bar I'd never heard of beforehand because I'm disconnected to that world. But it was pretty fun.
In all fairness, this is a newer establishment downtown.
I'm glad that you gave me that grace.
Yeah. It's like within...
You didn't have to.
Within half a year.
There's no signage either. Like if I had to find this by myself, there was zero opportunity. Really? Look at me. Kind of cool.
I'm giving you some credit.
Cool by association with other people.
But you guys went all out? You had a... you bring your trophy?
Trophy, yeah. Glad it's not the COVID world anymore because, there's a little
bottle service.
There's some germs going on drinking out of the trophy.
Service, yeah.
When you get handed a mini replica Stanley Cup, you have to drink out of it all night. So that was very exciting.
The flashing sign.
I've never had the flashing
sign. The flashing sign's a whole thing. Like you've gone all out when the ladies come over with the flashing sign and the lights come up on you and there's sparklers and they're delivering you a bottle of something.
Yeah.
You know you made it then, Justin.
It happened a couple times. You've never been a part of that? You've never seen
never
that happen
before?
Never
have I been a part of that group of people.
You got to win a championship. When the Barracuda.
Yeah. That's my new team.
When they win something,
fall, when the puck drops, our goal will be to win the championship so we can get bottle service.
Yeah.
Well, congrats to you.
I kind of like, you know, we're like a little older. I think we needed that. Like if we just went out,
it's different.
It's a battlefield down there on a dance floor in between, you know, the bar and other areas of socialization.
Look at you. You had the bigger,
I needed a couch to sit on. The two of us always tease me thinking I go out and party. No, you don't go out and I don't say that. I say you always have something to do.
I did have something to do. Bunker.
What did you do? Tell us about your weekend.
Bunker had his graduation. His puppy graduation
yesterday.
Look at us.
I'm out there partying and you're, you know, taking care of the youth.
My son is growing up.
The youth being your son being your puppy. Yeah.
He had his big, big puppy graduation yesterday. Valedictorian, top of his class.
Okay. Was it though? Is everyone a valedictorian?
No. Trust me.
Are the other dogs jealous? Are the other owners jealous?
Yeah, because he was the best behaved boy.
Out of all of them.
Yes, Justin. I wish I could have filmed.
Where did it say
the
valedictorian?
Chaos of
or
the
is
dogs.
Just like a valedictorian?
No, the lady, she told
us. Is it like on the certificate?
No, because they're all generically printed from.
Okay, so she's telling, she told you.
She presented it to Bunker and
nudge,
said.
Nudge,
no,
valedictorian?
No, in front of everybody. And it was, everyone was well aware because he was the best behaved boy.
Do you feel like a little.
Proud, yes.
Is there any other emotion there? Like a little.
A little like sad because he's growing up so quick.
Okay, that's not what I was going with.
He's almost 5 months old, and he's already graduated, and his life is all the world's at his fingertips.
Like I feel like when I'm a parent, and if my kid stands out in any way, I'll be like a little bit embarrassed.
Are you kidding?
Like, I wouldn't want the valedictorian, and that's my dog's valedictorian. I'm just like, no, good job. You're just, you
We're
know, like,
opposite.
You're just like everyone else. Great job.
I told Bunker when we signed up, if you're not valedictorian, no
might be
treats
a little too much
for a month.
A little too much pressure on him.
No, this he's
is
good boy.
This is big stuff early on to get a title like that. It's big.
I'm proud of him.
It's a lot to live up to.
It was a big day. And then he was just tuckered out the rest of the day. So we had a big day for the little kid. Now he's...
My dog would never be a valedictorian.
Now he's just, I don't know, goes free roaming into the world. He better remember everything we taught him over 6 weeks.
So what are the responsibilities of valedictorian? Like,
he'll probably have to come back and do a reunion every year.
He'll do like seminars
at
and
school.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
He's already been
the next
signed
wave
up
of
for...
puppies will be looking up to him, exchanging emails, stuff
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, definitely. He'll be doing
criticizing
interviews.
Or critiquing work and mm-hmm. future dog mm-hmm. things.
That's it.
Okay.
Proud of him.
That's good. Were you a valedictorian? You
probably I actually
were.
Was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Runs in the family.
Well, that's it. That's what I said to him. We're picking you from the litter because I had high aspirations and hopes that you would be valedictorian.
Mm.
And he lived up to it. So 5 months in, he's award-winning, just like the Swinging Ducks.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
A couple valedictorians there.
One other really important thing that happened this weekend was that I took the lead in the FanX Cup standings.
I didn't watch a second of
My
golf.
Buddy Victor Hovland in a playoff.
How'd it go? Were you on the edge of your seat?
He won.
Were you like into it?
Yes, because you had not messaged me once about the golf, and I was watching the golf.
I did not watch a second of golf this weekend.
And I quietly knew that I was in the lead early on. I think it was like Matsuyama was like crushing the competition for a while, withdrew with a back injury. So then I was like, okay.
He was leading when he withdrew?
No, he wasn't leading when he withdrew, but he was up there for a bit. So I was like doing well early on in the weekend. And then Victor Hovland finally did it for me. Like just finally did it. So I'm ahead now 2,800 to 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big lead. Like you were up 1,000 and I went Hovland plus 1,800 and I had the lead now.
That's nice cash for you.
Yes. That is all.
Okay. I mean, it's...
Those are the big important...
I did see at one point Scottie Scheffler was just like randomly in it. Like he went nuclear yesterday, but mm-hmm. never really had a chance. Well, I guess he would have had a chance. He was only one back, but he ran out of holes clearly. But congratulations to you.
Thank
That's
you.
A good bounce
thank
back
you,
effort.
Thank you.
Technically, I've not gotten a pick right against you. My only victory came against one Brent Gunning, the golf guy.
Too bad.
So I'll try to get one over you at the RBC Canadian Open this weekend.
Yes. So we're going to be covering that, of course, this week. We have Corey Connors on the show today, obviously the Canadian legend. We could talk about his Hamlet that he grew up in, Listowel, which
I definitely think we should ask about that.
We'll have him on. Carlos Pena, our buddy, Placata? Placata. Mm-hmm. I always struggle with that one, but
I do too.
Placata. You got to just say it fast. And then we obviously have Frank Saravelli every Monday morning. Lots happened in the sporting world this weekend. For hockey, we'll go through all of that. Of course, Gary Bettman had his State of the Union address, which we'll have lots of tidbits from. Elliot Freeman dropped some information, Leafs related as well. But let's start with the Toronto Blue Jays because that's the biggest point of flip the switch that we've seen in a little while. Three series wins in a row, and I know that sounds like it hasn't. It's been flipped for a while, but this weekend was the statement weekend for sure. First road sweep ever against the Mets, which was surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
They're now having a MLB best record in interleague games since 2021. So 39-18. So just stop playing AL East teams and we'll be good.
Yeah. I mean, actually, they're 6-15 against the American League East. Against everyone else, they are 27-12.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a big, big difference there. And that's the difference between being first in your division or fourth, like the Toronto Blue Jays are 8.5 games back because they've lost those 4-point games. If mm-hmm. you want to, we got to come up with something different than the 4-point game, which you'd use in hockey. Anyway, these games against American League East competition, very, very important because you can be dominant everywhere else. And it doesn't mean much because you are fourth in your division at this point. And you know, there's a couple really, really important things. It's kind of like the same old story here where we're waiting for that Manoah start and like what's mm-hmm. going on with that, that situation. But Bassett, Berríos, Kikuchi, I mean, mm-hmm. they as a unit, as a whole, lifting up from where this team has been let down, they continue to do the job. We got to talk about Chris Bassett though.
Okay.
I think that's the story of the weekend. We do winners and losers. It's a big winner.
Yeah, he's
But we should
winners.
Talk about him in this block as well.
Okay, so Chris Bassitt, Berríos, and Kikuchi are the rotation this weekend. All three of them, dynamite pitching performance. They've now got 27 quality starts from their rotation this season, which is tied for second most in the MLB. Blue Jays didn't score a lot of runs this weekend. 3-0 win, 2-1 win, and then a 6-4 win yesterday, so a little bit more there. But that is winnable when your rotation is as good as the Blue Jays are right now.
Didn't score a ton of runs, but had some pretty important offensive moments.
We'll definitely get to that.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
and Brandon Belt. But Chris Bassitt is put up in a very interesting situation Friday night. His wife is about to go into labor, but he's scheduled to pitch. Mm-hmm. So, and he's against his former team, and I picked him in my wake and rake over K's, which worked out perfectly. I didn't know about the baby situation, but as soon as I heard baby on the way, he's going to pitch, I knew legendary Chris Bassitt game in the making. Pitches 8 innings, basically. I think it was
into
7.
Eighth,
and,
yeah.
Into the 8th. Tied his season high with 8 K's, no walks, 101 pitches, which is a pretty lengthy outing for him, of course. Then he jets back home right after the game, private plane waiting for him to get home. Wife has, he doesn't miss the birth of his son, Colson.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets a winning weekend for himself, his family, and the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, like I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but if there is a wild card series that this team is playing in, if Chris Bassitt doesn't get the ball, then they've done something wrong. Because I can't imagine a more pressure-packed start than this one.
There's no such
thing.
Because
you're making a pretty, like, I don't want to say it's a selfish decision, because maybe everyone wanted to do it, but you're making a decision where it's like, hey, if you're a bum out there, if he got lit up by his former team, missed the birth of his son, like, if though, like, there's some stakes here with Chris Bassitt pitching in the situation that he did. And not only did he justify the decision in a lot of ways, although, I mean, if I guess the baby came, there might be, whatever. He did justify the decision because he was lights out brilliant against his former team under the conditions that he was. So there is no more pressure packed outing than he's going to see all year. And that would include a wild card game. So let's get the big game pitcher out there. The guy who doesn't flinch when the stakes are high, Chris Bassitt. I don't want to say he proves something, but he proves something.
Yeah. And he's been doing that. I think his last, well, I mean, he had that one blip, but since then, he's probably been one of my biggest, well, I mean, that's actually tough to say because Kevin Gausman has been great. Let's move to Jose Berríos, who has now his second best 10 start span of his career. So shout out to Chris Black for this stat, but he wins the 2-1 game, second best 10 start span of his career with a 61 innings pitch, a 2.48 ERA, and a 1.15 whip. So he is now kind of rounded back into form of the guy you paid, what, $131 million for 7 years. He last season was the Jose Berríos narrative of what happened to this guy. It feels like he's obviously found his own, but having him in this dialed performance, Chris Bassitt being Chris Bassitt that I think has surprised many, and then obviously having Kevin Gausman, those three guys, it's a big point of confidence for the Toronto Blue Jays. And Kikuchi had a pretty great outing last night as well against his former, or his buddy, not his former buddy, but his buddy Kodai Senga, who we talked about with John Morosi on Friday with his ghost fork, and he was out third inning.
I watched the game on mute for just unrelated reasons. Not that I don't want to hear what Dan was saying, but did they like go through the narrative a little bit with Yusei and Kodai Senga?
Yeah, it's really like,
so tell us about
they have a history.
Well, tell me about that.
Well, they have a history, obviously, both being Japanese, playing in the Japan League together. They've taken a little bit of time to get to their point of their career, but they're friends and they've had connections in terms of like helping each other out and having dialogue about getting to the MLB. And you saw them out on the field together, which is really sweet. But obviously, like if you're friends with somebody, that's one thing, but there's a competitive aspect to it when you get out on the field and you're pitching against each other in a big moment for the Blue Jays to get the sweep, not just a series win, but the sweep, which is something really important. So Kikuchi rose to that occasion, and he performed pretty well against someone that obviously has gotten a lot of attention this year with his specific pitches and the way he's been able to kind of help with that Mets team. But now look at where they're at. It just kind of felt like you spent a lot of money on this roster.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one. I'll get back to Senga and Kikuchi in a second, but that's one point I wanted to underline it or underscore, at least when looking at this Mets team. Like, the biggest issue right now for the Blue Jays is Alek Manoah, right?
Yeah.
And he's a guy who's not paid, right? There's some money that may be, you know, not untenable, but on the path from tenable to untenable on this Blue Jays team. Yeah, there's some money that's maybe could be spent a little bit more economically. However, when you look at a guy like Francisco Lindor, who is actively a problem all weekend for the New York Mets and makes so much money, and he's one of many, at least it seems, that are not exactly living up to the billing, it makes you feel a little bit better about the Blue Jays situation, where it's not a guy you've invested in yet, is still young, still has room to learn and grow and improve and find himself, because he's such a young guy still in Alek Manoah. The guys that you did spend a lot of money on, as you mentioned, Berríos, imperative that he bounces back because you actually spent a lot on him. Same with Chris Bassett and free agency, and the list sort of goes on. It feels like when, not that all that money is spent wisely, but that is sort of normalized a bit, where yeah, you spend a lot of money on Berríos, Bassett, and Kikuchi, and they can come through with for you, not dominant across the board. But those guys who you did invest in getting the job done, and you contrast that against the New York Mets team, who just, like, Lindor,
he's in my
terrible.
Losers column. We'll
save it. But it's just, like, a nightmare. A nightmare when you spend and don't get any value from it. And the Blue Jays look like it was kind of trending that way. But
that's
these guys...
That's what we talked about all year last year, about Jose Berríos.
Yeah.
Worst contract in Blue Jays history.
7 years. Like, it's a really, really difficult thing. And if you can kind of survive that, which Berríos is showing signs of, same with Yusei Kikuchi, who's not, he's still your fifth starter. He gets paid a lot for a fifth starter, though. But he goes out there and outduels Kodai Senga, which is great because Senga's got all this hype and all this attention around him. And again, you laid out the relationship, and he can go out there and outduel him, even if it's not on the proper rest or the rest he was accustomed to. And I understand all that. But I think that's a confidence builder for Yusei Kikuchi, striking out all those Mets batters. And outdueling his buddy.
A good bounce back from what was a shaky May for Kikuchi at a 5.38 ERA in the month of May. So working his way down from that. But, okay, so you talk about the rotation being one of the main reasons the Blue Jays won this weekend. Probably the main reason. But right behind that is some good offensive moments, some much-needed offensive moments. Let's start with Vladdy. So we all know Vladdy's been in a slump. We've talked about it quite a lot on the radio. His biggest slump as a young player is obviously weighing on him. We've seen him in the clubhouse or the dugout looking frustrated, obviously, understandably. But ninth inning clutch double on Saturday for the game-winning run. That starts a little bit of a turnaround and then comes into Saturday. So this was Saturday, batting, 241 over the last 20 starts. And when he gets this clutch double, it's after what was the worst strike call season long. And John Schneider's ejected because of it. And so to have like the turnaround, the wherewithal, the fortitude to then be dialed enough to hit this clutch double is a specific point I wanted to make about Vladdy, because that's not an easy thing to do. Also, that's John Schneider's first ejection of the season. I think we had the over 2.5 when we did our preseason bets. He was working his way there. He was getting a little fiery.
Okay.
But that was just a terrible, terrible strike call. We'll just stay there. And then Sunday, first home run off a pitcher, a real pitcher, no offense to Luke Raley, in 106 plate appearances, one exact month from May 4th to June 4th. So I cannot imagine how elated he felt, how much that felt like a relief for him. And then now, huge opportunity at home against Houston Astros, where he has yet to get a home run. You got two games where you're performing in big, big leverage spots. I think the turnaround for Vladdy is right there in his hands.
Yeah, I think on the cusp. I'm not going to say, you know, completely back yet, but that's kind of the first step towards getting to the final destination, which is being back as Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Still don't know exactly what that like defined ceiling is, but it is something greater than what we've seen. Yes. 100%. And hitting a big double to win a game, hitting a home run on a beautiful swing the following day, that's the kind of stuff that turns around a hitter, you would assume, like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. So yeah, imperative that he keeps it going, that he keeps building, because he's got work to do to get to the level that you expect him to be at. And as we've talked about, there's a lot of pressure on him in this lineup to be great. I mean, we're going to talk about Brandon Belt in a second. Yeah, the numbers are really good lately in terms of on base, but still striking out a ton, not hitting a lot of home runs. He's, you know, is that your best option as a cleanup hitter? if it is, yeah, you're going to need more. And you're going to need a lot from Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. because it's not quite the production that you need from a cleanup hitter to be a truly dominant team, at least in my opinion, without your second and third hitters being very, very good.
I feel like the entire team has kind of come and gone with how Vladdy's been performing, obviously. Now, if we're turning a corner, Blue Jays won three straight series. I think they've won seven out of the last nine or seven out of the last 10. So they're in a really good spot. And Vladdy kind of mirroring that, hopefully, with the turnaround. Now you're coming back at home. This is a really big series for the Blue Jays. And guess who's on the mound tonight? Alek Manoah.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that. And another huge opportunity. It feels like every time there's a huge opportunity that lines up, Alek Manoah's on the mound. But let's talk about Brandon Belt, because he's been the story, other than Vladdy,
MVP.
Other than the pitching, is Brandon Belt. So MVP chance from his team, which, I mean, kind of surprised me a little bit, because I don't really know much about Brandon Belt. I feel like we never get any interviews with Brandon Belt. We never get any...
We know he likes chicken fingers.
Yeah, we don't get anything more than that, really. Like, I never really heard from the guy.
It's hard to tell those stories if you're Sportsnet or anyone else covering the team when, for the first month of the season, he was just striking out every day.
Yes, and we talked about Brandon Belt being a disappointment and an interesting, I don't know, investment or an interesting addition to this lineup.
Kind of a dice roll, but like one that had to go well for this team to reach its potential.
And so since May 5th, so exactly 1 month today, he leads the MLB with a .484 on base percentage. He had this huge two-run shot in the seventh after they had lost the lead. And if you look at all of his stats, from his average to his OBP to slugging, whatever, he has leading the MLB in this 1 month span. So,
which is stunning.
I don't know.
Because it didn't feel like that, did it?
It didn't. No, like quietly he has become MVP at this point. They're saying it themselves. I mean, I wouldn't put it on.
Well,
I know they're being, maybe it's a little tongue in cheek, or they're just joking around, or they're giving him a little bit.
He said he was the MVP and they jumped on it and they, like a little like tongue in cheek.
I know they're joking a bit, but if you're going to rally around something, that's a good feel-good story. Sometimes a team needs something like that, right? I mean, Vladdy having his home run, I don't think they're going to be chanting MVP at him because it's a bit too close to the heart, right? He wants to be the MVP.
Yeah.
Nobody came in thinking that Brandon Belt would be the MVP.
To a certain extent,
but run with it, right? Like, obviously, you're not the season-long MVP of this team, but if you're the MVP of the month of May and you can build on that and this team needs that right now, power to you, Brandon Belt.
Listen, let's talk about the Swinging Ducks again. you join a new team and maybe you don't perform the way you wanted to for the first month of the season.
Is this you?
Can I
example.
Can I talk about the Swinging Ducks? it is me. And you need something to rally behind, right? Like, if it's difficult to join a new team, and everyone understands he's playing a pretty important role here. We made a lot of changes. You're our lefty slugger. You're striking out every at bat. It's hard to find traction if things aren't going well. If you hit two home runs on opening day, easy to join a clubhouse, be part of the team already. But if you struggle for the first month of the season and the results are good, but you're still like, I'm not so sure about this new guy. Yeah, there's a bit of it can be an issue. It can grow into something. It can be something bigger than it needs to be. But there comes a time, I guess, when you do cross that threshold. You are part of the team, and having them chant MVP, it seems like Belt has crossed that threshold and is performing well this month. And I think the performance more than the MVP is probably the thing that really allowed for this. But it's good to see those things and those moments develop, because that's team building. You see the makings of a team and someone fully acclimated to a new organization when you see moments like we did in the dugout there.
And we've talked about this for the last month. The reason the Blue Jays weren't finding success was they were not finding any offensive momentum. And if it's coming from Brandon Belt, I'm happy. I'm really happy for the guy, because this is, as you said, it's not easy to come in and acclimate yourself with a team. So Brandon Belt, big positive this weekend. Vladdy, of course, maybe a pending big positive. Let's see what he can do tonight against the Astros. And then finally, it's Alek Manoah tonight. I don't know. We should start power ranking all the important starts for Alek Manoah. This one feels pretty high up there. You just coming off a 4-game winning streak. You win against the Mets on the road. You've swept that series. You've won three series in a row. You're playing the Houston Astros at home in a huge series, which will be pretty jam-packed in terms of attendance. All eyes are on you once again. And it's Alek Manoah on the mound. So we've had this conversation every five starts, right? It's like, what Alek Manoah are you going to get tonight? And if there's going to be a moment to do it, come on, it's got to be tonight. But the one point of concern that I have is, sounds like Pearson and Swanson might be unavailable. They were in a couple opportunities.
And Romano, too, I think.
Yes. So maybe that's what I meant to say instead of Pearson. I think I meant to say Romano.
I think Pearson, too. I think all three.
So that's tough. Not a lot of depth behind you in the bullpen. You need to get some length today. Alec Manoah needs to pitch 5 innings, like bare minimum.
Or Trevor Richards needs to pitch 4 innings.
No, we don't want that.
Nah.
We want to see Alec Manoah tonight get 6 innings, okay? Because there's not a lot of beef behind you, right? So we really need to see that as a bounce back. I don't know what's happened in the last, you know, 5 games since we saw Alec Manoah. The last time we talked about him, it was a really tough post-game interview. You saw the emotion. You heard the emotion. He looked like he was really, really laboring this in terms of between the years. He mentioned himself. He's saying, don't throw a ball. Don't throw a ball. Instead of throw a strike. So a lot will be watching how Alec Manoah deals with any adversity in the first inning. If he gets behind the count, like, he needs to really come out and have a performance tonight. And it's hard to feel like a huge level of confidence coming into it, but the team has been playing well as of late. Maybe that gives him a little bit of a cushion of, my team is rallying right now. Like, I can do this as well.
Yeah, it's not like a schedule loss, clearly. And it's not, you're not like waving the white flag here on this game, but yeah, they're in a bit of a tight spot here. Like, it seems, as you laid out, imperative that Alec Manoah has a good start because they are not going to have a complete bullpen. But what you're throwing at the Houston Astros isn't necessarily like, we can do this wake and rake later. I don't think I'm going to be betting the Blue Jays tonight. However, it is another bounce back opportunity. And if there's any solace or any saving grace here, Astros aren't the same team offensively as they were over the last couple years, at least it seems. I think they're around 20th in total impact or WAR, Fangraphs WAR, in terms of their lineup and their complete offense, where the Blue Jays are fourth as it stands right now. Where the pitching lies for Houston and where it has for the last couple years, or I guess they're transitioning to it, is the pitching staff, second best pitching staff in baseball. Still some young guys, some new names. This team has gone through some turnover with the likes of Justin Verlander leaving, but this team can pitch it. So it's imperative that Vladdy and the rest of the lineup give some runs to Alec Manoah in support, because yeah, he might have to be, you know, he has to be better than he's been if this team is not going to be in a tight spot tonight, because the Astros can pitch it, and Manoah so far this season has not done that.
So 4-game series against the Astros all week, 7-0-7 first pitch, and then the Twins are in town. So a nice homestand for the Blue Jays, who have kind of been back and forth quite a lot.
And something other than American League East opponent, which is, I always say that's a good thing, but you kind of need these games because you got to win some of them to get back in the race.
So you're starting from the top of the rotation, though. So you mean you got Alec Manoah, then you got Gausman, and then you got your guy, Chris Bassett, but he's on paternity leave or paternity list, so I'm not sure if he'll be back in time for Wednesday.
He's listed as a probable. I would imagine, after risking not being there for the birth of his son, that back home he'll be able to take a couple hours and pitch the
baseball. You know, he's back home, so that's
I think that's just a roster thing.
Okay, and then Brios on Thursday, so see if they can win this series against the Houston Astros. Okay, we'll tee up more Blue Jays later in the show, but let's move to kind of like an NHL grab bag of some stuff from Elliot Friedman, some stuff from Gary Bettman. Lots happened this weekend. Obviously, the Vegas Golden Knights got the series started with a win as well. That was Saturday night. Do you want to start with some of the Elliot stuff or some of the Gary Bettman stuff?
Well, there's not much, I don't think, from Gary Bettman. Like, it's just kind of like eye roll inducing, because whenever he's in front of media and reporters and cameras and microphones, he thinks he's a comedian, which is one of the most annoying things, I think, going, because everything is not so rosy in the NHL. Like, everything isn't great. There are issues. There are major issues, but Bettman thinks that there are no issues and thinks he's hilarious and asking for questions and demanding more questions and just trying to answer every question with a joke himself. And it's just like, so it's cringe to me, to be honest. I hated watching it. I hate watching it every year when he does this, because we get nothing but frustration because the NHL doesn't seem to care as much as other people care about the product and things that are going on, namely with the Arizona Coyotes and the lack of best-on-best competition and things going on with the Chicago Blackhawks and reinstatements and stuff like that. He thinks these things, with the exception, I guess, of the latter, they're all met with jokes. And it's like, Gary, there are issues, man. And there are things to actually provide in terms of real answers and solutions, and it feels like every time he does one of these, we get none of those solutions. So it's a little annoying to watch it, I guess, in terms of what how it affects the Maple Leafs, which is very important. Salary cap won't increase more than $1 million because there is still escrow connected to the pandemic and the mismanagement of the NHL to a certain degree by the people who run the NHL. So yeah, we won't see big additions to the salary cap, which means the parameters are going to be tight for just about every team. And it probably means that once they actually do get to the point where they don't have to pay into escrow, Austin Matthews' deal will come up and there will be more money to give to Austin Matthews. So that's really the only thing that I gleaned as real, because other than that, it seems like they're dodging and lawyering.
So the salary cap information, certainly the most like tangible, because there was rumors that it would go up quite a lot. It's going to go up no more than $1 million. And he says this after like boasting that the league has $6 billion in hockey related revenue.
That's why
and
it's
then,
frustrating.
You know, give or take a few beans we have to count, right? Like I see where you're coming with
I don't say they want to, because they actually heard for the first time recently that owners want to spend more money. And those are the people that cut that. That's the only people that matter to Gary Bettman are the 32 owners. They're the only people that matter. So if they want to spend more, it's almost shocking that he still wants to count the beans and make sure they're one bean short of having to actually allow people to spend money. But that's the reality of the Bettman's NHL, where it's just like, no, we're going to keep everything on the up and up. We're going to continue to grow this business slowly rather than exponentially. And that means everyone makes their money when there could be more money to make if you just spend more to make more. But again, this is the age-old debate, the age-old argument, the age-old frustration with the NHL.
Says the big bump will be in the 2024 season. So yes. Yeah, lines with some important contracts. Okay, so says the World Cup of Hockey is a priority. Tell me if you've heard that one before. Yep. Holding out hope for the Arizona Coyotes. This guy's going to hold this one to his grave.
Many other options to explore. Yep. So this is probably another 5-year song and dance.
Saying that they're going to explore options in the greater Phoenix area. So they're trying to hold on hope that they don't have to relocate elsewhere. Said there was some interest from the Utah Jazz owner, but that expansion isn't at the top of their list. So still pending some information on the Coyotes.
Expansion isn't at the top of the NHL's list?
Yeah.
Okay.
Senator sale nearing a conclusion, quote, with a very good outcome to come in the next few weeks. So
yeah, he's talking about $1 billion sale and no money added to the system.
Yep. We'll confirm all this and get more info with Frank at 7. This is just kind of the rundown. Obviously, the information about what's going to happen with the Bowman and Quenneville situation in Chicago. Gary Bettman said he wants to hear from them, wants to chat with them, see what they have to say. That will be after the Cup final and see if they're reinstated to the league after the Kyle Beach investigation. So that will be more to come. They did announce the logos for the Heritage Classic, Winter Classic, and All-Star Game. And I'll say, I like all three. That never happens.
There you go.
I like all three.
I like the Heritage Classic one.
It's nice. The colors for the Heritage Classics are nice. I thought the Toronto one was fun with the Leaf.
Yeah, it's okay.
The All-Star Game one?
It's all right.
They weren't.
It didn't get my attention like the Heritage Classic one.
Yeah. Well, they did pretty well. All three. I'll say I'm pleased.
And that's
them.
Exciting. We talked about this before, the All-Star Game coming to Toronto. It should be a cool time. Hopefully, we should be a like Radio Row there or something. We got to get down.
Radio
there.
Row. Come on. We'll do the show from there. They won't even have the doors open yet, but we'll go outside Scotiabank Arena and do it. No problem. Okay. So that's kind of the Gary Bettman gauntlet. Let's go through what Elliot had to say on Saturday night as well. So let's start with Keefe. We have a clip, Sheldon Keefe and Elliot Friedman. We have the clip about him talking about a possible extension. We talked about this on Friday after hearing that, you know, after Brad Treliving kind of didn't close the door for Sheldon Keefe. Conversation now is he's a lame duck coach going in with no contract. What's going to happen? Well, it sounds like it's likely he might get an actual contract extension.
No confirmation from either side, but I believe the Maple Leafs and Sheldon Keefe have now met twice since Brad Treliving was hired as GM. I think it's going to be this, Dave. Assume if he's back, I think we're in a situation where they won't go in with him in his last year. I think there will be an extension if he returns as coach of the Maple Leafs.
Okay, so this one's surprising. You know, I think Sheldon Keefe was the easy option at the end of the season to move on from. I think the new voice, the new opportunity to have a core four led by someone else. And then Kyle Dubas isn't a part of the franchise and Brad Treliving comes in. So it seems like Sheldon Keefe might just be unscathed in all this and get a contract extension in the end.
I think it's absolutely crazy, to be honest. Yeah. But you're right. He was the bang for your buck change Like, you could actually get something without having to make a difficult decision with the core four, give up on your star prospect executive in Kyle Dubas. If this was the only move, it would have made some sense. Like, yeah, you didn't get enough out of this group, Sheldon, and thank you, and we'll see you again one day. That could have been the move. But once Dubas made it so that he was the move, it means that they don't really have to make a move. And again, I think lame duck coach is fine. I actually think when someone's forced to perform, it's a good thing. You might get the best effort out of them. And I don't really think effort's a problem with Sheldon Keefe, but I'm just not convinced that he's the best option, that this team plays for him the way that it should, that there aren't issues in terms of chain of command. I think he's proved himself to get a contract extension. But if you want to, if the goal is to avoid potential negative repercussion from being a lame duck coach, I guess if you give him a contract, you can terminate him at any time and it doesn't really matter. So it's just really money in the end. And if MLSC wants to spend it, go for it, because he's going to be coached this year.
I mean, he led them to some pretty great regular seasons, but this isn't about the regular season. This is about winning playoff rounds. He was out coached in all of them. And I mean, except for maybe the one they won, but still, maybe you still have a coach in that one. So I don't know. I really thought it would be a new voice coming in. Maybe they were up against the wall in terms of available options after waiting till the end of May. Nonetheless, we'll find out more about Sheldon Keefe's future with the Maple Leafs. I assume that there's a lot of conversations this weekend. Maybe Brad J. Living got to go talk to Austin Matthews and Sheldon Keefe in Arizona. I'm sure we'll hear more. But he did mention...
How about the emotional roller coaster Sheldon Keefe's been on. Think about how much things have changed, how he's probably certain he's done, to certain he's getting a contract extension, to certain Dubas is back, to all of a sudden he's gone, to we're trading a core four, Tre Living's in, we're not doing anything. Like, it just seems like
it's
been
there quietly.
The ultimate roller coaster for him, and all that he could really count on is getting that biweekly paycheck.
Yeah, and as long as it lasts. Let's go to Dubas's new biweekly contract.
That's a nice one. It's a pretty good one.
Because he's maybe the biggest winner
Maybe he just forewent. If you forego, do you forewent? Either way, maybe he just didn't. Maybe he's just like, I'll just take all signing bonus because I'm Kyle Dubas and I ask for the world, apparently. But he got the world from the Pittsburgh Penguins, so good on him.
Forewent is the past tense of as forego.
I nailed it. That sounds weird, though.
It does.
He forewent.
It's a weird word.
Yeah.
But you nailed it. Okay, so $40 million over 7 years is the reported amount. Here's Elliot Friedman on the Dubas mega deal that is unconfirmed, but probable when Elliot says it.
From what I understand, it's big term. I think it's 7 years for Dubas to be the president of hockey operations and interim GM of the Pittsburgh Penguins. No confirmation, but I believe that's what it is. 7 years, big commitment to him, and him with a big commitment to them.
I don't know if he would have got 7 years, $40 million here in Toronto.
That's
and I
a
will
lot.
Say
$5.7 million
that's
annually.
That's a lot of money.
How much do you think Brendan Shanahan makes? Do you think he's like Shanahan's 5.5? And I was like, give me 5.7.
Maybe. I don't know.
Shanahan probably makes.
There are some rumors, and we can get into this with Frank, that he had this amount already, like that he knew this, and then used that as leverage maybe to go back to MLSC. And like, we're never going to know the story of this, so I don't even need to like put this in the airwaves. But if that's what happened, and he walks away with 7 years, $40 million, and president of hockey operations, and gets a whole new life and opportunity in Pittsburgh, he is the mastermind, Kyle Dubas.
Yeah, I mean, if it was purely a negotiation ploy for getting the most amount of money and power, then yeah, you had a great offseason, Kyle. Mm-hmm. But if you wanted to be the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs and be called your name correctly.
Dubas.
Yeah, and wanted to still live in Canada and all those things, then maybe you've overplayed your hand. But again, we'll never really know. But what we do know is that only five players on the Pittsburgh Penguins will be making more than Kyle Dubas next season.
I think we could pick those five out.
Crosby.
The core five.
Malkin,
now you go.
Gensel, barely.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Petrie.
What? No way.
And Chris Letang.
That's a previous contract.
No. They signed him to that. Actually, no. Montreal signed
him. Yeah, I was going to say, there's no way.
Yeah.
Well, they got the core five over there.
The core five.
We're going to be keeping our eyes on a lot of Pittsburgh Penguins
hockey.
Dubas
is part of the core. It's going to be core
That's
six.
Right, Dubas.
And Jeff Petrie, along with Sidney Crosby.
Jeff Petrie, what a name. What a guy. Forgot that he played hockey, but there he is racking up the dough.
He's part of the Leaf nightmare.
Okay, so someone that the Leafs are still paying until the end of this month, I believe, is Mike Babcock. And he went off and rode into the distance quietly.
He coached
the University of Saskatchewan.
On a volunteer basis, yes, so that you continue to make your money from Toronto Maple Leafs, yes.
Nonetheless, sounds like he's back. Here's Elliot on Mike Babcock back in the league.
It's going to go down. Columbus is committed to hiring Mike Babcock at the end of the month when his contract is up with the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know, people wondered, what did the players think? From what I understand, over the last few weeks, a number of the key Blue Jackets players were asked, if we do this, how will you feel about it? If we consider it, how do you feel about it? I don't know how many knew at the end, but a number of them knew the Blue Jackets were at least considering it. We'll see what they say publicly. I also think, curious about the role of Rick Nash. Rick Nash won a gold medal in the Olympics in 2010, playing a big role for Babcock. I think he played a role in this conversation as well.
Well,
Kyle Dubas could take he could learn a lesson or two from Mike Babcock, because he's not even in the tax bracket that Mike Babcock was in. 8 years, $50 million. He's going to earn every cent from the Toronto Maple Leafs and Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment before walking the next day to this Columbus Blue Jackets job. Like, he did not give back a penny. It wasn't for the love of the game. Wasn't for the love of coaching. No, I'll be back July 1, 2023, after I earn my $50 million, and I'll be back in coaching then.
Winner,
not a
Mike
day
Babcock.
Too late. Winner, Mike Babcock. Loser, and this is actually a loser for me,
Johnny Gaudreau and Patrick Laine.
Yes.
I knew it.
That's not going to be fun. It's not going to be fun.
They had torts.
Yeah.
And now they got Mike Babcock.
And Torts left, and Johnny comes.
I just hope that...
He's a good coach.
Do you think that Mike Babcock...
Why would he change?
Take some time.
He just made 50 mil, and the next day,
but he knows
some team gave him another contract.
But you're telling me he doesn't know what's going on, like the noise. Players had to be asked if they want this guy to coach their team. Obviously, there's a big fallout here in Toronto, and the way he treated players, and... There's a lot about Mike Babcock.
I don't think Mike Babcock will change for anyone.
Then he goes to Saskatchewan, then he's quiet for a while, and now he's back in the league. Like, I don't think he will either, but I'm just wondering if that's a consideration about, let's start fresh here. I've got a new opportunity, a new team. I got some young talent, like Columbus Blue Jackets, who didn't have a great season, but maybe I can come in and do something. Earn some respect.
In Mike Babcock's mind, I don't think Mike Babcock has ever done anything wrong.
I think that's pretty accurate. Anyway, so we'll have a lot of Columbus Blue Jackets, Pittsburgh Penguin, and Toronto Maple Leafs drama all season long, and maybe the Ottawa Senators as well, depending on what happens with them. All right, we got lots to go through with Frank Saravelli at 7, including Babcock and Bettman. Vegas making a statement in game one. They were certainly... That game was fun. I thought the intensity level was a lot higher than I had anticipated. Florida, after having 11 days off between games, that arena looks like it's made for playoff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen a lot of our friends and colleagues in Vegas enjoying themselves over the last couple of days. Looks like a nice gig, but all the videos, all the pregame, postgame stuff I saw from Vegas, it looks like that is a hell of a party.
Yeah, they know how to put on a show. They know how to host a Stanley Cup final. Done it a couple times in 6 years. Mm-hmm. Been to many conference finals. It's an impressive organization.
So first blood, you got the Vegas Golden Knights with a 5-2 win. They take the series lead. They're back in action tonight against the Florida Panthers, of course, at 8 p.m.
It doesn't feel overwhelming, though. It feels like this is going to be a series.
It really does. Yeah, I thought Florida really held up. I mean, it was tied into the third period.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't a no-show by Florida. I thought, with all things considered, going into Vegas after a long time of not playing hockey, I thought they did a pretty good showing. That's not going to be enough to win the Stanley Cup, but I think tonight I could see them definitely taking the win.
But Aiden Hill did outduel Sergei Bobrovsky, that save was unbelievable.
Braden Holtby save.
Definitely. In
the same net, in the same end, in the same arena.
Helping legitimize Vegas, I think, right? Like, the question is the Florida goaltender just so much better than Vegas's that whatever happens on the ice doesn't matter that much? Aiden Hill was better in game one, and that doesn't mean he won't be second best throughout the series. In fact, I expect him to be, but he looks the part and has looked the part mostly for this entire playoff run. It's amazing that you can go that not even that far deep within your own system, because he was hired weapon from, I believe, the San Jose Sharks. He bumped around the San Jose Sharks and Arizona Coyotes. I think it was San Jose second. Anyway, he was off the scrap heap, and he looks like he's going to give championship goaltending to the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yes, San Jose Sharks. He's a good story. I brought it up last week, and
I poo-pooed it.
Yeah, you did. And now look at him now. You're just gushing with Aiden Hill
winner
this morning.
Aiden Hill.
Winner Aiden Hill. Okay.
Getting all my winners and losers.
Last night, it looked like maybe Denver would take a 2-0 series lead over the Heat. The Heat, they don't care about what you think about the Heat. They're going to go out there, and they're going to grit it out. Team performance last night. That was a really exciting game. That final buzzer
Denver
beater
was
shot.
Brutal.
Well, yeah. And look at the Heat. Like, they're making this a series, too. Jamal Murray has the opportunity to send the game to OT, misses that one. Kitchener's very own. I will say he's getting a lot of love on the international broadcast, though.
Not a suburb.
Yes, Toronto. No, it's not. Good that you brought that up. But, you know, the American broadcast giving Kitchener, giving Canada some love. So that's a win. But Denver Nuggets now, series tied up, and they're headed back to Miami. Miami, I think, they're going to make this tougher than people thought.
It's not even Jimmy Butler either. Like, Jimmy
was
just
last
like,
night.
Nothing real special from him through two games. Yeah, it's Gabe Vincent.
3 20-point scorers led by Gabe Vincent.
It's crazy.
It's going to be
crazy.
Exciting to watch.
It's just like, it's piecemeal for them. And Denver, it was like, Jokic is like, no one's coming with me tonight. I'll just get my 41 points and try to make it a close one or give Jamal Murray a chance to tie and force overtime. But Michael Porter Jr. was brutal. Aaron Gordon didn't do much.
I saw the stat about Jokic. They're 0-3 in the postseason when he scores 40 or more points. It's like, can he score too much and not assist enough and become a shooter?
Yeah,
and they were asked about this post game, and head coach is like, no, that's an untrained eye making that comment, like ripped on the reporter. But it's like, there's some validity to it.
I haven't watched Denver that much this year. I saw a change in him late in the game where it was just like, I got to do it myself. Yep. And it doesn't look as fluid. It doesn't look like the Denver Nuggets team that's overcome everyone else, because the team aspect falls off if it's only Jokic.
All right. Well, they're back Wednesday night in Miami. So an extra day of rest to travel back. But yeah, Miami 111-108 win over Denver, tie the series 1-1. You've got game two of the Panthers, Vegas Golden Knights tonight. That's 8 p.m. And Blue Jays first pitch 7:07 against the Houston Astros for a 4-game homestand against them. Send in your Awake and Rake picks. I think we went almost three in a row.
I lost mine.
Never mind. We went two at the end of the week. So
the Orioles.
Let's start this week fresh.
AL East.
Let's start this week fresh. We got Frank Saravelli at 7. We'll do winners and losers at 7:30. And then we'll do a little baseball and a little golf to round out our show, and a little baby wake and rake as well. So A-List is next.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Now it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Okay, we're going to talk winners and losers at 7:30, but I have an early winner to share on the A-List. Angel Reese, LSU star, who has just had the craziest offseason of all time, just added to her resume with something pretty, pretty cool. So if you missed it, she made her modeling debut in Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition.
Mm-hmm.
Then was honored at the White House alongside her teammates. And then she was in a soft drink commercial with Carl Anthony Towns and Zion Williamson and many, many more things. I think she's over $1 million in, what were we talking about this
NIL?
Point? NIL sponsorship deals. We talked about that last week.
Yeah. What was the pizza place you were going to get?
Everything but anchovies, EBAs.
Yes.
Too bad they don't exist, unfortunately. Okay. So the biggest thing probably, I don't know, maybe the biggest thing depends if you value Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Model magazine
big.
Or this, but you can add a music video cameo to her accolades. Cardi B and Latos, Put It On The Floor Again.
Say that one more time.
Put It On The Floor Again.
Okay.
Have added an entire little shout out to Angel Reese. Here's the clip. Shout out to Josh for beeping out a couple parts of it.
I was going
to
say.
No, I made sure it was in advance.
Tread carefully here. But
we did our best, but you'll see at the end there's a shout out to Angel Reese.
Put a ribbon on me, I've been acting brand new. I ain't smoking on no side
I'm smoking on you. Put your bestie in a pack and now I'm smoking her too. I've been balling so damn hard, could've went to LSU.
There you go. I'm balling so damn hard, I could've went to LSU. And then they pan the camera to Angel Reese, who's just like, hell yeah. With her glasses on, she's looking baller.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I don't know, what do you value higher, being in a Cardi B song and music video or being on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
I feel like Sports Illustrated maybe paid a little more.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, I mean, Angel Reese's stock.
She's making
might be too late to jump
big
in.
Big bucks, estimated $1.4 million already. So, okay.
Yeah,
I wish I was back at university, is all I got
to
say.
It pays to be a little petty as you win a championship, apparently.
Okay, one more thing about money, and this one will shock you. If I asked you how much you think Rocky, the Denver Nuggets mascot, makes annually.
I think you told me this before.
No.
I hope not. You did.
He's the highest earner among the 30 mascots of the NBA. The Mountain Lion.
He's seven figures, right?
No. Six. Still, okay. It's a mascot. How much money does
Rocky make? There's a wide variance here. A half mil?
Over $500,000. $625,000 a year to be a mascot. It's actually stunning.
Listen, you did home dates for the Maple Leafs for a while.
625.
41 nights of work.
You just walk around in a costume and do some backflips. Justin, $625,000 to be an NBA
Carlton
mascot.
Carlton doesn't do backflips.
Yes, he does, actually.
Carlton does not do backflips.
I will send you a video of Carlton doing a backflip.
When?
I'll show you. I've seen Carlton do a backflip.
Where?
In the stands.
No way.
Justin?
Carlton's not doing backflips at Scotiabank
Arena. Justin, next commercial break, I'm going to show you Carlton the Bear doing a backflip.
All right.
I know Carlton.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I know Carlton, and Carlton's done a backflip.
I know you know Carlton.
Nonetheless, $625,000 to be an NBA mascot. We have the wrong career path. We should have either been in university still and won a national championship or been an NBA mascot.
Backflips pay off. Backflips are worth something.
$625,000. Next time anyone listening goes for like a contract negotiation with your boss, bring up that information to say, I work harder than an NBA mascot and he makes $625,000. So, I mean, you can give me a 5K bump for
give that a shot.
Gas money. All right, we've got Frank Saravelli joining us after the break. We'll go through some of the big points from the weekend. Babcock, Bettman's presser. Woo, Stanley Cup Finals kicking off. And then winners and losers at 7:30. We're giving away tickets to Blue Jays games. So you'll have to stay tuned for the code words for that. That's all next on the Fan Morning Show.